would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I'm John Forward. I don't know if you notice or not, but I think this might be the first video intro that I've recorded after having taken a shower. Normally, I do these on Sunday mornings, and I'm often unclean while doing it, but my dad's coming over for a visit this afternoon. Cleaned the house, cleaned my body. Getting the intro done. Second week in a row of having a show. I had mentioned that I was planning on scaling back the frequency of these things, but I just keep getting pulled back in. Comedy Records, I think the biggest independent comedy record label in Canada. They reached out to me. They wanted me to do an interview with Barry Taylor, which you're going to hear in a bit. It was a good conversation. So that's why we're here. Update on the No Jokes Barred situation. Last week, I wasn't sure where a show was going to happen. It will be in the parking lot this coming Saturday, July 18th. Same place as last time, Service, New Brunswick. Talked to McGill's, but we just cannot compete with cover bands playing on the boardwalk stage every Friday and Saturday night for the rest of the summer, so we're stuck in the parking lot unless anybody out there has a lead on another good place to have a comedy show. Then we can chat, send me a message. So I'm looking forward to that. The first one was a lot of fun a few weeks ago. Five and Dime, July 29th, they're going to have their first live comedy show. I'm very much looking forward to that. To be honest, the Five and Dime show pre-pandemic was sometimes more fun to do than No Jokes Barred. Usually had a better turnout, so with all the social distancing and stuff, I'm not sure how many people will fit in there, how many people are still afraid of that one active case that we have in the whole province, several hours north of us. But anyway, looking forward to that. Also, Punchlines Comedy Club is supposed to have their grand reopening August 14th and 15th with Derek Seguin. I'm supposed to be on that show with Jimmy McKinley and Brian Giles. That's about a month out, and I really hope it happens. That's what I'm looking forward to most of all. I don't know if I'm hoping that the borders are open up by then, or we can't have a show. The Quebec border needs to be open for Mr. Seguin to get here and not have to self-isolate for 2 weeks. That's a strong maybe, but I don't know about my buddy Brian Giles. I can't see them opening the U.S. border in a month's time. They're still going crazy down there, so I don't know. But hopefully, at least I get to do the show, and that's what's important. Like I said, I'm excited to get back into it. Doing live comedy, it's after not doing it for 3 months, I'm really missing it, and it's so much fun. That's part of the reason why I'm not as enthusiastic about doing these shows. There's just no feedback or anything. I get the odd comment here and there, but even if I'm at the radio station and I've got a guest sitting across from me during this monologue, I can occasionally elicit a light chuckle at least. But who knows? Everybody might be just skipping through this to get to the interview, but yeah, doing comedy, I'm finding myself changing tactics a little bit. I've been thinking of more topical stuff lately, which was never really a thing that I used to do. Mostly just told stories about my very exciting life. But, you know, there's stuff in the news, and I don't know. I feel a need to say something because a lot of things aren't being said. And like a comedian's number one job is to be funny. So if you fail at that, then it doesn't really matter what else you do. But, I think maybe not, I don't know if it's number two or not, but somewhere in the hierarchy of what we're supposed to do, I think is to kind of poke holes in the status quo. So whether that's just something going on in the world or just something that everybody takes for granted or believes or whatever, or just a different way of looking at things. And, despite the people mad at that Harper's letter last week, it is really hard to say anything online that isn't like exactly the you know, the religious bullet points that that you're supposed to say. It doesn't matter if you agree 99% of the time, if that 1%, and you know, it's not. I don't have to worry about getting canceled, I don't think. I'm not successful enough for anybody to care. And, you know, I'm not even worried about people yelling at me in the comments if I was to say something that I'm not supposed to say on the internet. But, you know, there is kind of the seedy underbelly of secret screenshots where just somebody sees you post something and they don't engage with it, but they'll send it to somebody else. And, you know, that could lead to lost opportunities that that you never even knew were on the table, or it just might, you know, it's not good going through the world, even in the comedy world, just with the back of your head, you don't know who's secretly got it in for you because, you know, they didn't like something that you said at some point, because that's how it works. When we get canceled in the New Brunswick comedy scene, nobody has to tell us that it's happened or why or anything like that. You just don't get contacted or you send a message out and it gets ignored. So that's the kind of thing. And you know, I'm kind of sad to see that, you know, over the course of however long I've been doing this locally, the comedians as a group of people, as a community, has not often shown a lot of integrity and not a lot of solidarity on things. There were a few times where I was really proud of what we did. When our local Yuck Yucks Club, rest in peace, was threatening to not let anybody do free unpaid guest spots who did some comedy festival that they were trying to put on at a bar uptown in St. John. Everybody kind of stood together and was like, no. Screw you. Another time was when Chuckles got mad at Matt Copeland for having the Hard Times season one premiere at their venue, and were making all kinds of threats, and everybody was like, dude, chill out. It's not, this is not a good hill to die on. But those are the only times that I've seen, and even then, the only reason there was solidarity because there was such a large group of people who were going to be directly affected. I can't think of many times where anybody has kind of gone out on a limb or taken a risk to stand up for somebody else for something that doesn't directly affect them. And, that saddens me a little bit, because, you know, yeah, lots of other things like, oh, this place doesn't pay any money even though they've got a full house, or this place doesn't let somebody come there because of some personal non-comedy related gripe. And everybody's like, yeah, that's cool as long as I'm still getting a spot. But I don't think, you know, we're rebuilding this thing, and I hope that the future has a little bit more solidarity because, you know, we are a powerful caucus of comedians, and if we stick together, I think that we can accomplish good things. You know, it's not enough to just be passively not a woke scold, but you need to do more than that. If you hear somebody else in your life or on the internet saying, hey, look at what this guy said that's inappropriate, or this guy said that, or I'm not going to let them come do my thing. Maybe speak up. You don't need to go all fire and brimstone, but at least, you know, say if you see something, say something, because silence is violence, and we all need to stick together. And when we see injustices happening to our fellow comedians, we need to be bold, and we need to stand up for each other, because whether we agree with that person or not. Because if you don't stand up for that other person now, then eventually they're going to come for you. So anyway, let's get into the show. After this musical break, we're going to hear my conversation with Barry Taylor from Comedy Records celebrating their 10-year anniversary. I hope you enjoy it. I had fun. Stick around.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Barry Taylor from Comedy Records, who's celebrating their 10-year anniversary on July 10th. So welcome to the show, Barry.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you guys reached out to me. I assume you want to promote the big anniversary coming up. That's a big milestone for you guys. So I guess to start, why don't you tell me about what you guys do over at Comedy Records?
Yeah, we're a comedy label, and we put out stand-up and sketch comedy albums. Based here in Toronto, but we also work quite a bit in America when it's not on fire. And working in New York City, we have a monthly show where we, you know, comedians on our label perform. We work a lot. We have an office in Miami for, you know, U.S. business side of things, and then also do some stuff in Los Angeles. Basically just a comedy record label, and we've got a small management side as well with a couple comedians.
Sure. So you've lasted 10 years, so I assume that you're doing at least well enough not to bankrupt yourselves, so that's good.
Yeah, so far. Very is close it, a couple times, but we've made it.
Has it gotten easier or harder over the past 10 years? Things have certainly changed technology-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess a bit easier for sure. The one advantage we do have, like I said, is working in America as well as here in Canada, because, you know, as we all know, the Canadian entertainment industry is, you know, next to non-existent, but there is a bit of work here, and then being able to work in America as well and really promote Canadian talent down south has helped it a lot for sure, and definitely probably been one of the main reasons we've been able to survive to this point.
Yeah, well, that's how do you go about promoting Canadian talent down there? Just because I know it's very difficult for us to cross the border to work there without just lying to them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the one I'm very fortunate, my business partner, he's also a comedian, Tim Golden, who runs the company with me. He also is, he's originally from Boston, the Boston area, but he's also a U.S. immigration lawyer, and that helps a ton. So we're able to actually create, or he is, not me, able to create, you know, legit visas based on our two companies, and then that way people can go down and you know, not get stopped at the border. And just as a result, we've been down there and been able to establish some really great relationships with different producers and clubs and that. And you know, the talent is never an issue, that's for sure. Canadians always do very well. It's just how do you get those opportunities down there, and that's sort of what we've been trying to focus on.
Sure. So how do you build up your roster of people that you work with? Do comics approach you, or do you approach them, or a little bit of both?
Yeah, I'd say it's a little bit of both. It is, like, the management company is definitely boutique. We've got a roster of 13 comics, and I mean, we'll probably expand that down the road, but right now that's enough for us. But yeah, a lot of it is, you know, just comedians that we really like talent wise, but also as people, because there's a ton of talent in Canada. So there's a lot of opportunities there, but finding people that are good humans as well, yeah, is more of a challenge. So that's definitely, you know, once we find that, we hold on to it tightly, and then we go all in.
Yeah. So just for my listeners to get an idea of who you guys work with that we would have seen perform locally over the last few years, a lot of them have come through. We've got Punchlines Comedy Club that just started, which was Chuckles before then. Right. I've had Steph Tolliv come through recently. I've opened for K. Trevor Wilson a couple of years ago.
Oh, nice.
Jason Allen's been through, Nathan McIntosh, Adrian Fish has done Yuck Yucks, Rob Pugh's been through. Nice. Kathleen McGee and Mike McDonald, you've got albums on your website from them. They've been around. I think looking at the albums that are available on your website, my favorite one that I've heard is Jeff Paul's album from this year. Dangerously Dark, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
I don't think he's performed in New Brunswick that I've been aware of, but he was the first time I ever did a guest spot at Yuck Yucks in Halifax. He was the headliner. So that's where I crossed paths with him.
That's awesome. Yeah. Jeff's a great dude. And he's actually, he runs his own festival as well. The Icebreakers Comedy Festival in Niagara on the Lake, which is just outside of Niagara Falls. It's become really successful. He's doing great.
Right. So what's the difference from the comedian perspective to somebody that's on your core roster versus just putting out an album? Is that more like a management side of it, which I know that you guys do?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So we do, I guess we'll release an album with anyone if they're already signed to a different management company or if they have agents elsewhere. And then from there, it's kind of like we do, like I said, we have a monthly show in New York and we'll do live events. And basically our usual kind of rule of thumb is as long as we're putting out current albums with a comedian, they're welcome to do any of our shows anytime kind of thing and, support and promote and all that stuff. Right. And then from the management side, it's more of an actual artist representation where we're representing them, for festivals or TV gigs or bookings or writing their visas or that kind of stuff. So basically like if we're putting out an album with an artist, we want to be able to support them as much as possible. And that's sort of where it ties into with our live shows and events. And then, like I said, for the management side, it's a lot more hands-on and just a lot more in-depth than just live comedy, basically.
Right. So I guess on an album point of view and from the management, like what do you guys do for a comedian? Because especially like the technology exists for us to record our own albums. But so... What's the upside of going with a label as compared to just self-releasing something?
Yeah, no, definitely. There's definitely opportunity for comedians to do it on their own. And there have been many times in the past where comics come to us and ask to put out an album. And I can just tell them straight up, you could do this on your own. You don't need us for this. Just go, you do this, this, and this, and then go submit it yourself kind of thing. I think the advantage for us anyway is we do have a large network of industry professionals throughout America, whether it's the Sirius XM's channels in America or Pandora Radio, also with clubs like the Comedy Store in Los Angeles or New York Comedy Club or various festivals. Basically that is for sure a thing that we really focus on, is making sure to provide added value to an artist we're working with, because like you said, they can easily go do this on their own. So like, why would they work with us? And I guess to that, I would say, we do have like a full marketing plan, industry relationships with people that, are often inundated with individual comedians reaching out to them. And then, just our live events that they can be a part of that they'll make money from and also, get some extra promotion.
Sure. So, yeah, looking at the list of available albums, I named off a bunch of them. I'm not familiar with all of them, but the ones I am familiar with are all solid. So it seems like at least the ones that I know of are a pretty well curated list. What do you look for in a comedian that you want to work with?
I think that is the one thing that Tim, who runs the label with me, and myself, if we had to sort of build ourselves up, I would say that our ability to select talent is really our strong suit. And I don't know. I mean, I think that's just based on like, it's going to sound arrogant and I don't mean it to be, but it's just like, what do we think is funny, And I think there's we just, I don't know, maybe I guess have a good ear for that or eye or something. And the other thing too is, you know, in Canada a lot of festivals are booked. It's not necessarily who's the best comedian, but do they check a box or two as well as be a good comedian, you know? And we don't have to worry about checking any boxes because we're completely independent, and we have no government funding or mandates or, you know, CRTC regulations, so we can just sort of select what's funny and not really have to worry about what's, you know, kind of funny but also checks box, you know, A, B, and C sort of thing.
Right. So are you and your partner comedians yourselves, or, and if not, how'd you get into all this?
Yeah, we both started out, and I guess we still do, like, we both are very much comfortable, I'd say more comfortable behind the scenes than being on stage, but yeah, we both definitely have done comedy for, I guess we both probably did it for 14 years, maybe, 15 years? And yeah, did the thing, like, tour the country and was able to perform almost everywhere. I think we did Tim wasn't with me, but I did do a show at UNB back in the day.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely an advantage for us because we, A, know what it's like to be a comic, and then B, know what a comedian wants or needs when putting together, you know, an album or something like that, versus, like you said, like, if they can just do it on their own, we can just say to them, now go, like, literally, here, you do this and this, you can do it on your own, you don't need us. And we also create very artist friendly deals, just because, for that same reason, we know what they need us for and what they don't need us for. And I think that kind of lends us a bit more maybe trust from comics, if I can be so bold. But yeah, we both started out there, and I think that's definitely an advantage that we have over other labels.
Yeah, I think in general, whether it's in a label or like show promotion or anything, I find somebody that has their own background in comedy tends to have a better ear for it, I guess.
Right.
I'm always suspicious when somebody who isn't a comedian decides to get into, because the business side is kind of the worst part of it's comedy.
Yeah, it's horrible. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know for myself, as comedians, we can get a bit dramatic when if somebody has to say no to us for any reason. Is that been an issue? I'm sure at some point somebody probably approached you who just was no good that wanted.
Yeah. There's been a couple times like that, and if that does happen, we just sort of will guide them, or you know, I guess maybe give them some advice so they can sort of do it on their own. But then that being said, like, there have been many times, as I said earlier, when people have come to us to put out an album and it's like the album's done and they just want to, you know, start making money off it. I'm like, you don't need us, like, just go do this. Like, you're gonna just be giving us money for nothing. Like, why would you do that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't want someone listening to this that may have heard us say that in the past and been like, oh, I wasn't good enough. It's like, that's not even close to the case.
Yeah, no, that's not the only reason for a no. But yeah, I know from my own perspective, whenever I hear no, I've always got in the back of my head, well, they're saying no because of this nefarious reason that they're not telling me.
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah. Which, because, I mean, as you know, comedians, and myself included, are all insane. Like, they're the most, they're, because I worked for 10 years in music before this, and so I worked with a lot of artists there, and yeah, there's like some eccentric musicians, of course, but like, comedians are on a whole nother level, man. They're fucking nuts. So yeah. It can be sensitive. They can be sensitive.
They just gotta joke around.
Oh, something's going on with this. All right, okay. I just had a weird blast of. Anyway, hopefully it works out in the production, but if not, there'll be a blip on my my Spotless production record.
Hi, this is Coronavirus, and you are listening to St. John Forward Radio on local 107.3 FM, presumably instead of spreading me around, and that saddens me. I hope, at the very least, you are doing it in your own home while wearing a mask, so that if anybody walks by, they don't see you smiling at all the joy you are experiencing listening to this show. The John Forward curve must be flattened so that we don't spread this terrible disease. Thank you for doing your part for humanity.
Not into weird shit, I don't know. Like some weird stuff. I got a question for you, bud. You ever have a girl lick your asshole so clean you felt guilty taking a shit the next day? I had a bit of that last week, so.
I'm not you.
I'm kidding. I didn't feel guilty. I paid for it, man. Some things I'm not going to ask my wife to do, all right? I'm going to kiss that mouth. Not above paying for it. I've been to a rub and tug once. Went for the story. That's what I told myself, eh? Yeah, it'll play out on stage, you pervert. I went with a friend who goes often. That's how you go to the rub and tug for the first time. You don't want to wander in there on your own. You want a Sherpa on this venture for sure. My buddy takes me to his classy little joint on Yonge Street in Toronto. We find out upon arrival one girl working that night. Apparently Russian immigrants are taking sick days. That's fine. We paper, rock, scissors, see who's going first. I win with rock. I go upstairs. I get about 4 minutes of the worst massage I've ever had in my life, followed by top five hand jobs. This girl was good at her craft, man. Didn't start off good. She was very distant, you know? She was just kind of going at it and staring at the wall. I think she was looking at a clock, trying to beat a record she had in her head. I don't know. But I like a little intimacy when I'm paying a woman to jerk me off. Honey, how about a little eye contact over here, huh? She looked at me with this broken Russian accent. She said, $10, I look at you. $20, I make sexy face. Like I said, I'm a romantic, guys, but I'm also a cheap son of a bitch. So $10 was all I was willing to spend on this transaction. So for the next 48 seconds, she just stared at me with her dead eyes. Finished me right off, so. But then the worst part of the whole experience happened, because then I had to go sit in their waiting room and wait for my buddy to get jerked off. I don't know if you've ever been to the rub and tug. You don't want to stick around after being serviced, all right? You want to get the hell out of there as quick as possible. Put your coat over your head like you're leaving the courthouse. I'm sitting there reading magazines, people are showing up like, dude, you in line? No, I already went, man. Iron grip on that girl. Have at it, man.
So do you guys get involved much with the actual like recording and like editing of albums, or is it mostly just a finished product comes your way?
Yeah, no, definitely. We do everything. We can record, mix, master, produce, distribute, market. We can do everything. Yeah. So ideally we just say to a comic, you know, go there, focus on your material, focus on what you'd want to do, deliver your stuff, and then don't worry about anything else kind of thing. So they can literally just focus on the stand-up side of things and go, and then we can handle the rest, basically.
All right, well, what advice would you give a comic as to, like, when somebody ready to put out an album?
Oh, that's a good question. It is, like you said, though, it is, just because it's so easy to do now, it can be tempting for people to want to release something soon. The thing I've always said is just like, people got to realize is like, once you put something out there, it's out there forever, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean, you can, I guess, take it down off of whatever distribution platform you use, but someone's downloaded that or something, you know? It's like, it's never going away.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would say be extremely cautious before rushing into anything, because, you know, A, if it's not good, it's not going to get airplay. So you're not going to make money from it, and then B, you're going to sort of establish yourself as a comedian that you might not be comfortable with, you know?
Yeah, because if you're reaching out to somebody for any kind of an opportunity and they just look you up and they find that old set from
the
first year of comedy, they're going to...
Exactly. That's 100% right. Yeah, and I get, but at the same time, like, I get it. Like, you know, you and I know there's very little work in this country for stand-up comedy. So it's like, if you see something that can potentially generate revenue for you, of course you're going to be eager to do that. But yeah, I don't know. I guess for me personally, like, I would never put out or release any material with a comic that hasn't headlined somewhere before, you know? Yeah. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a headliner with, like, you know, Yuck Yucks or whatever, but it's like you've headlined a few times enough to the point where it's like, you know, you've done 45 minutes to an hour, so maybe that at that point you're ready to release like a 20 to 30 minute EP kind of thing. So the other thing too is you want to burn through all your material and then you've got nothing left, because then if someone does happen to check it out and then comes to see you and you're doing the same jokes, it's just gonna kind of destroy your credibility there too. So
yeah, and there is a difference between having the material and having the chops to deliver it as good as you can, because I've got hours of material, but I'm not ready to put out an album just because I don't have I've done lots of writing over the years. Like I've put on 2-hour-long shows myself at like a local fringe theater festival, but just because I have like those 2 separate hours and I've still got stuff on top of that if I burned it, but that doesn't mean that's not the same as somebody who's taken that hour and developed it and toured it and done in different places. Yeah. Like I mostly perform around here and I'm confident in what I can do, but I know that I could be that much better if I was in a bigger market and like had more stage time, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. And plus, like, the thing is, like, you or I or whatever comic, like, yeah, you, even if you have that material, like you say, like the more you do it, the better the material is going to get. So most comics who have a joke and then say they do it for a year, that year later, it's nothing close to what it was when they started, and they don't like how it was when they started, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
you really got to fine tune the material, I guess, is kind of what it takes. So yeah, I'm always about less is more and quality over quantity, I guess would be the easiest way to put it.
Yeah, and I've found like a lot of, I run an open mic and I find like a lot of new people are starting out, and I've done it myself. I try not to, like, I try to record my sets just for my own reference as much as I can, but you don't need to put it out on the internet, because first you might be embarrassed of it in a couple of years. But I think the other side of it is people don't realize, like, I don't know how it is beyond the East Coast, but I find just in doing comedy myself, there's a lot of people that will like your stuff on Facebook and be like, oh yeah, I'm never going to come see you, but send me a clip. And that exactly. doesn't give them an incentive to come out and see it in person.
Exactly. Well, like I said, like, once it's out there and it's not going anywhere. So you better be extremely happy with it or else there's no point, kind of thing.
Yeah. So how do you see, what do you think is the biggest roadblock for kind of the Canadian comedy industry, I guess?
I think there's a couple things. I think for me, there's just so few opportunities. And then the people that are in charge of those opportunities don't maybe have the best grasp as to what is actually going on in Canadian comedy, or maybe that's not, they, like, the people, the gatekeepers, if you will, the people in charge are very, sometimes they get set on a couple particular artists and then that's it. Those are the next comics doing all the festivals or doing everything, every opportunity. And you know, there could be other people that are just as good, if not better, that just don't have that opportunity. So it's kind of like a twofold thing. Like there's not enough opportunities. And then the ones that aren't being, you know, distributed than you know, widely, I guess, more or less.
Yeah, and as dramatic as we can be, it's really easy to burn a bridge, and there's not that many bridges.
Exactly. So it's like, yeah, 100%. Like, it's just, it's such a small industry, which is weird in itself because there's so much talent. And then, you know, just the opportunities are, there's very, very few people in charge that are willing to take risks, I guess, what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I would say, like, just from my perspective, I would theorize that I think because Yuk Yuks in particular is kind of the national brand, and from what I understand, they've gotten a little bit better at letting their comedians do other stuff, but that's kind of, from what I've seen, that seems to be that's really the only path. There are independent clubs, but I find everybody's kind of being funneled into that thing, and I think it has a way of kind of, I'm not sure what the word, but it kind of makes everything kind of fit into that particular mold, whatever that is.
Yeah, exactly. Which is the beauty of the internet, and how that's the upside, I guess, of things being easier to produce now, you know, whether it's audio or video or whatever. That's definitely an upside because, yeah, you don't necessarily have to go through those gatekeepers. It's for sure helps, but you know, at the end of the day, if something's good and you can get it out there and get some eyes on it, you're gonna benefit, you know.
Yeah, and things are picking up at different paces throughout the country too. I know, like, I started doing comedy about 8 years ago, and that was just a desert of nothing, mostly for New Brunswick. There was a few people that would come through, but generally when people are going on tour, most people don't go past Montreal.
Right.
And New Brunswick had nothing going on. That's grown quite a bit since I've started. It's still a pretty small new scene compared to other stuff, but even Halifax has been going for a bit longer just because the Yuk Yuks Club's been there for a while, and Newfoundland had a Yuk Yuks that's no longer there, but they've got a pretty established scene up there. But do you have any advice for us lowly East Coasters on how we can do better to join the party?
I love the East Coast. We actually, our very first Comedy Records tour was in September 2010. It was an East Coast tour, and it was all, not all, but a lot of East Coast universities. So we did the UNB, St. John, Fredericton, you know, like UPEI, Mount St. Vincent, St. John, or St. Effects. Anyway, a bunch of them. And, I mean, the East Coast is so beautiful, obviously, but it's like, you guys have an extremely healthy music scene. Yeah. So if there's any way to collaborate with that, I guess that would be kind of a cool maybe way to get things going, because your music scene is so healthy and so strong. Like,
yeah.
You know, could you set up like a show where the comedian opens for like you know, an artist kind of thing, because that does work, and I've seen it happen in the past. I don't know. I guess what I'm just trying off the top of my head thinking, but I mean, again, it's like the talent is clearly there in the Maritimes. It's how do you get the eyeballs on it? Yeah. So then, yeah, I mean, I would suggest collaborating with some of the stuff that's there that's not necessarily maybe traditional comedy, because like I said, like that's what we did at Comedy Records, is like, we're like, all right, yeah, we want to take the independent music label model and use it for comedy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of works where it has, you know, the East Coast. I mean, like I said, your music scene is so great out there that'd be kind of cool.
Well, and I've noticed kind of, when I first started, like I used to go to a lot of shows in like the early 2000s when I was in university going to music stuff. And when I started my show, I was picturing that we would develop the scene kind of there and there would be a lot more overlap. But I've found that the people, at least in the local music scene, are a completely separate thing, and they're not interested And it's for, and I've had difficulty with audiences around here because they're kind of trained to be music audiences, so they don't necessarily understand that it's super annoying if you're having a conversation like in the middle of a comedy show, because that's fine in a music show.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Yeah,
like the musician's not going to tell you to shut up, and like you can tell by the look on their face, like, excuse me, and they act like we're being the jerks.
I
try to understand that. I usually, like, first off, if somebody's being disruptive, I will politely inform them that they are doing the wrong thing, because, and I don't assume that there's any maliciousness to it. They just don't know what the rules are. And if it continues, then I'll get a bit more mean with it. But they're not used to it.
That's hilarious. It's funny because we've been the whole, I think it's just a Canadian thing where it's like, we're very much like, and again, like that was sort of the approach we took and sort of continue to prove, because you look, and it's not just the East Coast, like, you know, Manitoba has an incredible music scene as well, specifically Winnipeg, but like, how did those artists get through to the point of, you know, they lost that, like, whatever it is. Where here in Canada, we just don't like supporting our own artists for some reason. But now, but music's the exception now. Like, everyone's cool. If a band's Canadian, it doesn't matter if they do well in the US or not. It's like, how do we translate that to comedy? I don't know. But I think that's, we just got to follow their formula, because whatever they did freaking works. And, you know, talent-wise, the comedians in Canada are as good at their craft, I would say, as musicians are at theirs. So it's like, how do we?
You're right. I think people are like proud to that band's Canadian and they're great. Yeah. But for like a Canadian comedian, they're like, oh,
yeah. I know exactly. It's like, imagine, I just want to be like, imagine we were hockey players. You guys would think we're the coolest fucking people ever, but we're not.
Like, well, if that person was any good, they'd have moved to New York or LA. Exactly. By now.
100%. You're right. Exactly. Yeah.
So your 10-year anniversary is coming up. How have you seen both the comedy scene and, I guess, the idea of a comedy album change between now and back in 2010 when you started?
It's funny. Like, in 2010, there was no industry. Like, we literally were, when we started, there was nothing. Like, there's nothing. And then it was about 3 years into our label that Sound Exchange, which is basically royalties driven by online streaming, became a thing. And that became pretty lucrative. And so that just sort of, the industry just sparked off of that. And then within a few years, there were way more albums being made. There were a couple other labels in Canada now, and it's great, because it's awesome, because we're all able to make money from it. And for the first 3 years, we were making no money and just getting killed all the time. So now there's an actual industry, which is great. And obviously, you know, like the Juno has a comedy category now, which is cool. And it's slowly growing to the point where it's comedy albums are kind of becoming a thing in Canada now, which is great. And I think that's hopefully just going to keep snowballing. So, you know, when the world kind of comes back to whatever it's coming back to, we can start doing more tours and shows around the albums and just using all these sort of things that are popping up now to really try and help continue to promote and highlight Canadian comedy.
Yeah. Well, do you think the streaming platforms like Spotify have been a net positive on it? Because I know the per listen royalties are pretty small, but you also get it out to a lot more people. So what's the balance there? I know comedians probably aren't selling a trunk full of CDs after a show as much anymore.
But. No. Yeah. Exactly. It's it really depends on the platform, because like something like Spotify or Apple Music, Amazon, they don't pay well. But then, you know, there's something like Pandora in America or SiriusXM in Canada and America pays very well. So I think if the album's good, like, we want it on every platform, because, you know, you want people to hear it. And there's a Spotify, the fact that it doesn't pay well is not good, but they have a ton of listeners. So, you know, it's like using that exposure to then help promote your tour or your live shows or whatever. And I like having it on all platforms because the more people can hear it, the better. And you know, like we were saying earlier, it's just about getting your best stuff out there. So people want to come see you live, and then, you know, maybe that it turns into a writing gig or it turns onto like on TV performances or something. In 2020, you just can't be good at one thing. You know, it's just not possible. So to survive, I guess, basically. So the more people, the bigger audience you can reach, I think the better.
Yeah. So you're 10 years in now. What do you picture for your label over the next 10 years? Is there any new projects or new lanes that you're hoping to get into?
Yeah, we've got a couple really good projects. I guess I can't even really talk about them right now because they're kind of on the back burner because of COVID and everything. But they're still coming to fruition. It's just going to take longer than we thought. A lot of it is, though, just continuing to work once, again, if the country doesn't burn to the ground, is working in America and helping Canadians, you know, have access to the almost, it feels like, endless opportunities in America, because the talent here is definitely strong enough to work down there. It's just, how do you get in that foot in the door? And our focus is really opening those doors and then, you know, grabbing comedians from up here and being like, all right, here are these opportunities. And then that just sort of, again, like you said, you know, so many people are like, oh, if that comic was any good, they'd be in the US by now. We just want to help provide those opportunities for the comedian, but then maybe they don't necessarily live there, they can still live here. But, you know, work back and forth in the US, which, I mean, that's what we're doing with K. Trevor Wilson right now. Like, he still lives here in Toronto, but spends, I mean, I'd say at least 2/3 of his touring, if not more, is in America now.
Yeah, well, I think Letterkenny is available down there, and having a TV credit is a huge
massive
thing for any comedian.
Absolutely, you're right. It did. It went on to Hulu about 2 years ago, but you know, even before it was on Hulu, he was working. He was working U.S. clubs because he was just that good, you know. And it's like, once you get him on stage, it's undeniable. Like, he's a great comedian, and you know, you and I both know dozens of those comics in this country where it's like, just give them the opportunity, and it's going to be fine, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, just to wrap up, do you want to tell my listeners where they can find your stuff and all that? You've got a 10-year anniversary compilation coming out that's available on SiriusXM.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us where we can, what else can we do to support you guys?
Yeah. Thanks, man. I guess, hit us up on our website, comedyrecords.ca. That's got, you know, all the info, all our updates are always posted there. Our social media is just Comedy Records on Twitter and Instagram, and we're pretty frequent on those. And that's where we post all our upcoming releases and shows and news and all that stuff. So yeah, I guess that's the easiest way. And thanks so much for having me, John. I'm hoping one day we can actually hang out in person, and you know, we'll do a show out in St. John and with you and the rest of some guys from our roster or something.
Yeah. All right. Well, sounds good. So that's Barry Taylor, Comedy Records. Thanks for joining us.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, man.
Wait a minute. Slow down. We could go later. We could go lay down. We could go way up.
What we doing?
I said, wait a minute. Slow down. We could go later. We could go lay down. We could go way up.
But I use my second language so all of y'all understand the sea.
We from the desert, yeah, hey.
Drilling for oil, the pollution has got us smoking the news. Made all the immigrants move, and now the world is watching.
Arab with an attitude, dressed like Gaddafi.
Assalamu alaikum, like Muhammad Ali.
Me and my brother, we like Shaq and Kobe. tell them where we come from.
They Islamophobic.
You got Wiz Khalifa, Maya Khalifa, but no caliphate.
They only wanna check my bags. Muslim on the plane.
Even when I'm grocery shopping, I'm still a target man.
They label me a boogeyman and they make a Muslim ban.
Damn, I'm not a terrorist, I'm a tourist. Soon as they find out I'm an Arab, they start jumping to conclusions.
Hand me the bag for El Apaj.
Just got back from Hajj, feel like Malik Shabazz.
Wait a minute, slow down, we could go. Laid up, we could go. Lay down, we could go. Wait up.
Wait. What we doing?
Wait a minute, slow down, we could go. Laid up, we could go. Lay down, we could go. Wait up.
What we doing? Walking the block with a bop, cause I'm caught in the beat. Old lady clutching the pearls, I watch across the street. This black power's so awesome to see. My mere existence got her switching up. These coon ass niggas see him bitching up. Respectability don't stop a cop who wanna shoot. They killed Martin Luther in a civil rights suit. The ego has an appetite for its own version of the truth. Your absence of evidence, not proof. These bars is empirical and harder than the criminal. Far outside the bubble, never subtle or subliminal. These artists is far too cynical to be spiritual. You don't really get it though, you think you're never critical. Straw man argument, your dissonance is cognitive. These consequences require fixes like Ray Donovan. I never use the language of oppressors and the conquerors. My tats tell the tales of my crimes like Eastern promises.
Wait a minute, slow down, we could go. Later, we could go. Lay down, we could go. Wait up.
What we doing?
Wait a minute, slow down. We could go. Laid up, we could go. Lay down, we could go. Wait up.
Hey. Hey.
All right, well, that has been another episode of St. John Forward Radio. I'd like to thank my guest, Barry Taylor. You can check out comedyrecords.ca to see what they've got going on. They've got vinyl, if that's something you're into. I was going to ask him about that in the interview, but I forgot. I will throw him under the bus because I think those audio glitches you heard were on his end, not my fault. I lowered the volume a bit to make them a little bit less jarring on your ear holes. But come see me live. No Jokes Barred in a Parking Lot, July 18th, this coming Saturday. All of the comedy critters will be there. Five and Dime on Tuesday, July 29th. Punchlines Comedy Club will be opening for Derek Sege, August 14th and 15th. And yeah, johnforward.com for all the other social media links and such. Probably not well updated with these videos and whatever the next show is. But if I'll leave you on anything, just remember, if there's anybody in your life that is not on board with the No Jokes Barred philosophy, you need to speak up and say something, because silence is violence, and we don't want to perpetuate this culture of scolding. So anyway, be well. Thanks for watching or listening, whatever you're doing. If you're reading a transcript in Braille, that's good too.